In keeping silent about evil, in burying it so deep within us that no sign of it appears on the surface, we are implanting it, and it will rise up a thousandfold in the future. When we neither punish nor reproach evildoers, we are not simply protecting their trivial old age, we are thereby ripping the foundations of justice from beneath new generations. And this week's opening quote comes from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back, folks. I missed out on a show last week because I was traveling, and I'm now back in Peru, back in the jungle. So the show might be punctuated with a few insect noises and strange bird calls and general jungle sounds while I'm here. So that's just something to deal with, but that's just the way it is in the jungle. And it's certainly nice to be here. I had planned to bring you a show last week. I actually conducted an interview with Crow 777 and was going to bring that to you last week, but somehow the file got deleted. In fact, my entire call recording folder seems to have been deleted somewhere in the process of travel. I'm not quite sure how that could have happened, but I intend to contact him again and see if I can conduct the interview perhaps next week or the week after. It was a very interesting conversation. I would like to bring that to you, but as I said, I couldn't because my file has been deleted. And I find it very interesting that somehow the entire call recording folder, the entire archive of Skype recordings that I had on my computer is now missing. Very interesting stuff. And the world has certainly gotten more interesting in the last couple of weeks as well. And it is very sobering and very revealing that Donald Trump has announced that he is going to move the US Embassy to Jerusalem. This was something that he mentioned during his election campaign, and it is something that he confirmed the other day. And this should leave no doubt in anybody's mind what Trump's real agenda is and who Trump is really playing for. He is certainly not playing for world peace, and he is certainly not playing for the American people. He seems to be playing solely for the state of Israel. This decision to shift the US embassy to Jerusalem and recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, in flagrant violation of UN resolutions, in flagrant disregard for the wants of every other nation on earth, apart from the rogue state of Israel, of course. It very much reveals Donald Trump to be an arrogant, reckless politician that is working to inflate global conflict and ensure that there is some sort of a confrontation that erupts between Iran and Israel. It is also a statement openly supporting the genocide of the Palestinian people and the theft of the remainder of Palestinian lands by the rogue state of Israel. It is an absolutely disgusting move by an arrogant, egotistical, and overtly aggressive politician. And that's all I can say about Donald Trump at the moment. He really has revealed his true colors with this. And I don't like to use colourful language on the radio show, but I can't help but say Donald Trump has revealed himself to be 100% pure asshole with this move. In any respect, I hope for the man has now been flushed down the toilet, which is something I would like to see done to Donald Trump as well. And even though I can only really feel pity for Donald Trump and sympathy for a man for the fact that he is obviously so incredibly stupid and so incredibly self-absorbed and so incredibly controlled by others, unfortunately, we are now in a position where one must admit to the fact that Donald Trump is simply an arrogant, warmongering, self-centered, disconnected, egotistical turd that is Donald Trump. And I can only hope that I meet the man one day and I'm afforded the opportunity to perhaps spit in his face, because that's exactly what he deserves. I really cannot believe this move, but it really does reveal Donald Trump's true colors to the world and show what a closed mind this man actually has and what type of damage he is attempting to do and how much he is attempting to not only kickstart a war with Iran, but also destroy the credibility of the United States and thus continue the controlled demolition of America. Now, it's very disappointing, folks. You know, I was going to come on here after 2 weeks off and come and bring you some really positive stuff. I wanted to talk about spirituality. I wanted to talk about ways of moving through emotional barriers we have and all sorts of things I had planned to talk about this week. And then I come online after a week off and look at the news, and I find the antics of Donald Trump and his attempt to kickstart World War III and rubber stamp the genocide of the Palestinian people, and it just gets my blood boiling. And there goes all talk of spirituality out the window. Spirituality is something that I think Donald Trump should probably investigate, because he doesn't seem to have any spiritual side at all. He doesn't even seem to be able to think clearly. I must wonder if the man has any brain cells at all that are not corporate controlled and money oriented. I don't know what's wrong with this man. Perhaps that hairdo is causing his brains to leak out or something, but something really does need to be done about this terrorist genocide supporting maggot of a man that the US currently has sitting in the big chair. But what are they going to do? Impeach him and put someone like Pence in place? Well, that could probably just go from bad to worse if that were to happen. So even though I've often suspected that impeachment may well be on the cards for the Trump presidency because it would suit the agenda very well, I don't see that it really matters at this stage. And even though it may be used as an excuse, I think Donald Trump is maneuvering America into a position that the only hope left to the world is for the United States to implode. And that seems to be what Donald Trump is working very hard to ensure happens. If only the man would give his country one-tenth of the attention he gives to the rogue state of Israel, perhaps things would get a little better. Perhaps we'd see some improvement on the ground in the United States. But all he seems to do is fall over himself to destroy the country and to capitulate to the needs of the Zionists. And again, folks, it's very, very revealing. And it's also been very revealing to see certain elements of the independent media still falling over themselves to support this warmongering turd. And I've been pretty gentle on the man for this first year of his presidency. I've given him every opportunity to prove himself. I've given him every benefit of the doubt. I've even tried to appreciate some people's concepts of Donald Trump playing these ridiculous 4D chess moves in order to bring about sanity. Not that I can really see it as being a reality, but okay, I'll go with that. If that's what people want to say, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. But this decision to move the US embassy to Jerusalem just cancels all of that out. It just shows him for being exactly what he is, and it just shows what the real agenda is. This will also bolster the confidence of Israel, and it will support Israel in its recent attempts to attack Lebanon. It wants to kickstart a war in Lebanon. It's recently bombing Syria again. It wants to keep that going. Even though the United States is trying to pull out of Syria, Israel is desperately trying to keep that war going, and it wants to keep the war going with Lebanon. It's trying to kickstart that again, and it may also provide Israel with the confidence to openly attack Iran, which is something Israel has been attempting to do for years and years. All of the war posturing that we hear about Iran, all the news propaganda we're fed about how Iran is such a dangerous country and is such a threat to everybody, it's all rubbish. I mean, Iran hasn't attacked anyone in over 270 years. This is all Israeli propaganda designed to bolster global support for a war against Iran. Iran doesn't have a central bank. Iran is not a player in the globalist agenda. And so Iran must be squashed. The same as Cuba, the same as Syria, the same as all these countries that don't have central banks are the ones that need to be squashed and are also portrayed to the world as being some kind of axis of evil, when the real axis of evil is Israel and those who control the state of Israel and those governments that Israel controls, which is generally banking interests and Rothschilds and all this sort of crew. So really nothing is the way we're told. But what this move is going to do is give an enormous amount of confidence to the state of Israel, and Israel will be the mechanism that is used to kickstart more theatres of aggression around the place. Israel can get away with this because Israel is the eternal victim because of the holohoax that they hold over the brains of everybody and over the minds of everybody, where everybody believes that the Israelis must be allowed to do whatever they want to do, because there is this fairy story about millions of them being killed in World War II, which didn't actually happen. There were several holocausts that happened in history, folks. There were several very, very brutal genocidal events in history, such as the killing of 66 million Christians in the Russian gulags. But when you look into these events, you find that it was actually Jews that were perpetrating these crimes, not the ones who were the victims of these crimes. But anyway, that's another story. But this is what gives credibility to the state of Israel, and this is what causes Zionist puppets like Donald Trump to be able to offer undying support to this rogue nation, this stolen state that it is, which isn't even governed by real Jews. It's actually governed by Khazars masquerading as Jews, and that's another story. But because Donald Trump's decision to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem is such an arrogant decision and is in such flagrant violation of everything that will bring about peace, everything and anything that will lead to peace, and is against the will of every other nation on earth, it's against UN charters and everything, it just goes to show what an arrogant man this man is, how little regard he has for any type of law, any type of decisions. He really does believe himself to be able to just run the world the way he wants. And really, he's being influenced to do so by the very, very many Zionists that have infiltrated Trump's inner circle. I mean, if he wasn't one already, they've certainly infiltrated his inner circle. His daughter is married to a Zionist, after all. And that certainly can't be a good sign. But if you really step back and look at the whole situation, you can see how the influences that are controlling Israel and controlling America are also influencing Donald Trump to simply run their little puppet show for them. And it is one big puppet show, folks. And it's about destroying America and removing the US dollar as a global reserve currency and introducing an entire new system of which China will be the head. Now, I'm not saying China is going to be running the world or anything. China is simply going to be the head of the new economic system. World trade will not be run out of New York. It won't be run out of the New York Stock Exchange or Wall Street or anything like that. It will be run out of China, and it will be digital, and it will be all surrounding the new trade agreements that are going to spring up with China's new One Belt, One Road initiative, which is going to come online the way things are going. It is all pointing towards this direction. Even with what Israel is doing, the maneuvering that Israel is doing now to get in with China and Russia, Israel is positioning itself to be a key player in the One Belt, One Road system. Both Israel and Saudi Arabia are in important positions to be able to control the flow of traffic through the Suez Canal and Mediterranean region, the Straits of Aden. And Israel is also in a position to be able to offer the best security services to anybody involved in the One Belt, One Road system, because Israel, of course, has all the best security services, all the best technology, all the best software because of Operation Talpiot that Israel has used to put back doors in all companies and all software and be able to siphon all technology to Israel so Israel is able to develop these platforms before anybody else by stealing everybody else's technology and ideas. And so Israel is also working to undermine America, and that's what this decision to move the embassy to Jerusalem will also do. It will bring about the further undermining of confidence in the United States. And there's all sorts of processes in play at the moment to bring about this further undermining of America, to make sure the world loses confidence in America, and not only the world, but also the people of the United States need to lose confidence in America, and the world needs to lose confidence in the US dollar. They need to lose confidence in all currencies that exist at the moment in order for the powers that believe they be to move the whole thing over to a blockchain and have the people actually go along with it, and not only go along with it, but also welcome it. Because you've got to look at the blockchain, folks, and what it is, and there's a lot of people working really hard, a lot of really good people that are working to free us from the financial system via the blockchain. But don't think that the government isn't watching this as well, and they're attempting to maneuver themselves in a position where they will control the blockchain. Of course they are. And this must not be ruled out as a possibility. You've really got to look at how things are being played here and who the players are. And I'll expand on that a little bit more in a few minutes, but there is quite literally so much theatre in play at the moment, but it is all leading towards the same agenda and all designed to bring about the same goal. You've seen the war and the rhetoric against North Korea escalating as well. This will continue, folks. You'll see this rhetoric escalate more and more and more until it gets to the point that China has to step in to quell the situation, and China will be awarded control of the New Silk Road for being such a saviour to the world. And Donald Trump's actions, even this action of moving the embassy to Jerusalem, will just show what an arrogant, reprehensible government it's been and how the United States cannot be trusted to run things the way it's been anymore because of all the damage it's just caused during the Trump presidency. And this, of course, is all being presented under the guise of making America great again so the citizens of the United States will put up with his antics. And when it all implodes around them, well, many of them will just expect it. And, of course, the other nations of the world will have to step in and change the situation in order to mop up Trump's mess. And as for Trump, well, he won't care. It'll be water off a duck's back to Trump. He'll simply go back to what he was doing before he became president. And within a few years, all the world will have forgotten because that's what they do. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and this is theatre for the masses to bring about a predetermined agenda. And think about it, folks. You've got the United States there as the global reserve currency. The people of the United States very much like the position the United States is in. They like to be sitting at the top of the pile like that, at the top of the food chain. But what we've seen is an enormous loss of confidence in the American government being spread through the American people, through situations such as 9/11, the Truth Movement, everything that we've done to try to wake the world up to the fact that everything's corrupt and everything's run by criminals. This has been kind of switched over to pointing the finger at the United States, eternally pointing the finger at the United States, blaming that for everything, calling it the world bully, and this has the knock-on effect of undermining the people's confidence in their own government, undermining the people's confidence in their own currency. This is what Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies have done. They're undermining people's confidence in the US dollar. And the people of the United States still want to see the US sitting at the top of the food chain, but yet they still see the undermining of the US dollar and the advent of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies as being a good thing. And of course, in the current fiat system where bank is controlled by fiat currency and all our system is controlled by fiat currency and the whole system that we've got that exists in the real world, the advent of Bitcoin is a good thing. And the people that are working in Bitcoin are doing what they believe is the right thing. But when it all becomes digital, everything changes. When every action you perform becomes digital, then everything changes. And that's the problem, is that people can see the system for what it is now. Many people don't notice the changes that are going on behind the scenes. And so they quite welcome the destruction of the US dollar. But again, many of this is because they do not see its relation to being the global reserve currency and the benefits that America gets out of holding this position. I mean, a lot of people within the United States, they just don't think about that fact. They don't ever consider the fact that the United States is actually the global reserve currency. I mean, they may know it. It may be a little nugget that's stored in the back of their minds. But they don't really consider the significance of it and what would actually happen to the United States if it lost that position. And if the US dollar crashes and everything switches over to crypto, well, it's going to lose that position. And if that happens, you're going to see huge, huge changes in the United States, because there isn't enough resources or people or anything in the United States to pay the accumulated debt that the United States owes China, which is, incidentally, as I mentioned before, who is going to be running the new economic system. So were that to happen, what sort of a position would that put the United States in? It wouldn't just be a matter of the people freeing themselves of their government and freeing themselves of the US dollar, the corrupt fiat system. It would also be placing themselves in a very, very different position on the world stage, personal cryptocurrency wealth or not. But let's say you did want to destroy the US dollar, or at least undermine confidence in the US dollar and introduce a new global currency. How would you go about it? Because in order to undermine the US dollar and to make a safe transition to any type of global currency, you have to have the people embrace the concept. So how would you go about this? You need to undermine people's faith in their own government. This is happening with the Trump presidency, with Trump's moves in Jerusalem, Trump's moves against North Korea. So many things the man's done. He's really, really working to undermine people's confidence in their own government, and not only the confidence of the people of the United States, but also the confidence of the people of the rest of the world. You need to have people's confidence in their own currency undermined, which is happening with Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. You need to have things turn into such a mess that people will simply want a big reset. They'll just embrace whatever change you're going to bring in, as long as it's just going to stop things from going in the direction that they're going. And if you can bring a cancellation of debt in amongst it to sweeten the deal, then you're most certainly going to get the support of the people. And you need to do it in this way. If it gets to the situation where the US dollar just collapses completely, and a debt jubilee is announced, which would not surprise me at all if they announce a cancellation of all debt because the system's just collapsed too far and we can't recover it. We have to cancel all debt and start from square one, and we're all going to switch over to the blockchain. You're going to find that a lot of people are going to welcome this simply because of the cancellation of debt. And with Bitcoin literally going through the roof at the moment, the cryptocurrencies are climbing incredibly fast. They're all being picked up by the stock market. They're all being picked up by all companies, by major banks. They're all switching to cryptocurrency, gold and silver trading companies, all these people dealing cryptocurrencies now as well. So it's all becoming part of the mainstream. It's all becoming an accepted part of the mainstream. It's all becoming an accepted part of the financial movement. And people have been drawn into the cryptocurrencies because they're making huge digital profits by doing so. And really, when the system crashes, if the system crashes, many of these people are going to welcome that happening because they're going to be quite well set up in the crypto world anyway. And what we're seeing here, folks, with everybody getting these emails and everybody being told to invest in cryptocurrency now, is basically the entire world being given their $200 to pass go so that the new game of monopoly can start. Only this is going to be a game of digital monopoly where every single move everybody makes is traced and is stored on the blockchain for future reference. And when I say every move, I mean every move, every action, every single digital step that you take, every word that you type, everything. Every transaction you make, everything, will be stored on the blockchain. And there are still so many distractions happening at the moment. You've seen all the talk of Pizzagate that's surfacing again and all the talk of the mass arrests of pedophiles. Has anybody out there actually seen anything to confirm any of this? Has anyone seen any pedophiles being arrested? Anyone seen anything at all which would confirm anything we're hearing about all of these sealed indictments and all these pedophiles and all these major players being arrested? Because I'm just not seeing it, folks. I mean, there may indeed be some low-level pedophiles being arrested around the world, even though I'm even yet to see proof of that. But I'm not seeing any of the major players arrested. I'm not seeing the Podesta brothers arrested. I'm not seeing Hillary Clinton arrested. I'm not seeing the Clinton Foundation shut down. I'm not seeing anything happen to DynCorp, who's been running the human trafficking around the world for years, was exposed by Cynthia McKinney years ago as running human trafficking operations in Iraq, and yet is still running all of these operations all around the world in various theatres of conflict, various war zones, like such as in Iraq, in Syria, in Yemen. I mean, DynCorp has its finger in so many pies. I'm not seeing any of these people being arrested. I'm not seeing operations on Haiti shut down. I'm not seeing any of the major players arrested. I'm not seeing the entire US cabinet arrested, and just about every single one of them you can guarantee is related to pedophile activity. So people who are out there telling you that the world's changing, sit back and just watch, eat your popcorn, Pizzagate is taking care of things, the white hats are in there batting for us, don't get fed this rubbish by these people, folks, because nothing is changing, and it's only going to change when we choose to participate by removing our support from this system. Now, we've got to step back and look at how we're being played here, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. We've got so many things on the stage that we can use at the moment. Even this cryptocurrency could be used in a really beneficial way if we're smart about it. And we don't allow government to control things the way they are. Don't allow the situation to turn into everything being digital. You know, all this whole digital smart system that's coming online, folks, that is what we need to pay attention to. Sure, you can participate in digital currency. You can participate in the crypto world and do all these things. But don't let your life be turned over into a digital reality. Don't get digital locks on your car and digital locks on your door and everything digital. Because when it gets to that point, that is the smart grid itself, and it's the smart grid that is the new world order. All this other stuff that's going on beneath the scenes is just theatre for the masses, and so much of it is put there to distract us, and to put there to think that we've got someone in there batting for us, and we don't actually have to do anything ourselves. But we do. You know, people need to participate. They need to participate in the world that they live in. They need to participate in the political systems that control their lives. As Socrates or someone once said, it is people's failure to participate in politics which ensures they are ruled by evil men. And I'm paraphrasing there, but it was words to that effect. And that is true. It's people's failure to participate in politics or to pay any real attention to what's going on in the political system that allows all of this corruption to continue and allows these criminals to run the world the way they've been doing. And we've got huge opportunities here at the moment, though, ladies and gentlemen. So much is being revealed, and we've got every single tool we need, such as the cryptocurrency. We've got every tool that we need to free ourselves from this system, but we just have to do it. And the first step in that is knowing yourself and knowing how easy it is to actually stand up for yourself, to ask the right questions, and to stop complying with this system. I mean, I'm 60 years old now, and I still don't own a credit card or use a smartphone, ladies and gentlemen. I still get a lot of flack about that as well, suggesting that people put down their smartphones. People say, but how on earth can I listen to your show if I don't have a smartphone? Well, folks, smartphones weren't invented 9 years ago when I started this radio show, and you were able to listen to it then. You can listen to it via a computer. You can listen to it online. You don't have to be online all the time, every moment of the day while you're traveling and being addicted to the scrying mirror in your hand. You can get stuff from your computer at home. You don't need to install these smart systems. You don't need to base your life on what Google tells you you should do with it. There is a real world out there, folks, and I urge people to put down their smartphones, go back to just using home computers and laptops and things, and make it inconvenient for them to introduce this smart system. Stop thinking that it's convenient for you to use it, because it isn't. It's convenient for them for you to use it. And all they're really doing is removing your access to all the stuff that used to exist on your home computer. Now it's all being put on a cloud, and you're being given access to it everywhere. And isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful you can just do this without carrying it everywhere? But folks, it also puts you in a position where you can be locked out of everything that you control in that digital world. And that includes your house, your car, everything that goes smart. As I keep saying, folks, all the world is a stage, and there are truly so many things in play at the moment. There are so many theaters of conflict and so much rhetoric, so much stuff that we've been given to distract ourselves, so much stuff we've been given to lead us down rabbit holes, so much of the spy novel version of reality being fed to people by elements within the independent media, that many people are simply failing to see what is happening beneath the surface, and they're being led into a direction where many people are going to welcome the New World Order when it comes online, because many people simply don't realize what it is. Now, what it is essentially is a new world where everything will be ordered. It's not necessarily the global police state that's going to look like Nazi Germany that everyone's been expecting, that's been promoted by the system, been promoted by Hollywood and all the powers that believe they be. They've put this predictive programming into people's minds, so people expect the New World Order to look like a certain thing. But it isn't going to look that way at all. It's something that's happening beneath the surface. It's the control grid that people are simply allowing themselves to take over their lives and run every aspect of their lives under the guise of convenience. Many people don't look at this convenience for what it is. It isn't really about convenience at all. It's about control. It's about surveillance. It's about tracking every action that everybody makes. And as I keep saying to people, in such a scenario, in such a digitally controlled world, it doesn't matter what form the currency takes, as long as it's digital. You know, blockchain is not going to free you from a digital smart grid. It's actually going to work quite fine with the digital smart grid. And that isn't to say that there's anything wrong with blockchain. It's just the way the system is adapting itself to the blockchain and how the blockchain can be used to support the system. I just think it's imperative that people step back and keep things in context. And even though there are good things happening, don't allow their hubris to take over. And don't lose track of what the other hand behind the scenes is doing. But folks, I think we have reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm hearing a lot of bug noises here in the Amazon at the moment, so please do accept my apologies if the insects get a little bit out of control during the latter half of this radio show. Yeah, so I know a lot of people are going to be listening to some of the topics that I covered on the first half of the show, and they're going to call this fear-mongering. They're going to be saying, oh, look, I can see all these positive things happening. Why are you trying to make me feel bad again? And I'm not attempting to make anyone feel bad. I'm not attempting to bring a negative slant to anything. I'm just not allowing hubris to rule my thoughts. You know, I've been offered so many things. We've all been offered so many things by this system so many times. We've seen so many people bring ideas to the table which have turned out to be exactly the opposite of what we want. And we've been led in so many directions that we don't want to go, very often under the guise of being led to our own safety. And this has never happened yet. And I simply don't surrender my trust to anything now, no matter how positive it may seem on the surface. I'm willing to give everything the benefit of the doubt, and I'm willing to allow things to go in certain directions and hope for the best, but I'm not going to just believe that something is coming along to lead me to safety. Not if there's a chance that it's not leading me to safety at all, that it's actually leading me in the opposite direction. And all I'm suggesting with all this is that people keep an open mind, and people always keep a degree of skepticism regarding anything that's offered to them as being the way out, you know, especially if it's something that doesn't require your participation. you know, in as much as you participating on the ground and stepping into your own personal power. I mean, all the systems that control us only exist because of our participation, so certainly any system that is going to free us should also require your participation. And it simply isn't anything as simple as switching to a digital currency or switching to a blockchain or listening to the independent media tell us that all these low-level pedophiles are being arrested. This isn't anything that's leading us to safety, and I just think it's important that we don't allow our hubris to rule our decisions, as I said. The problem is there is no system that's going to free us that can't be done without your participation. The problem is that most people don't want to participate. That is the real issue. And that is what holds us back so much. People want freedom, but they're not prepared to act to create that freedom themselves. They're not prepared to free themselves. They want someone else to come along and liberate them. And this is a real problem. You know, people's willingness to give away their own power, and mainly because they just don't realize the power that they have. You know, something that I've put forth ever since the first show back in 2008 or whenever it was, is what it would be like, what would happen if people were to simply put their tools down and stand in their flesh, stand in who and what they are, and stop believing they have leaders, stop believing that other people have authority over them. You know, we are the ones who hold this system up, ladies and gentlemen. We hold up every single aspect of this system. And if we were to all simply to stop complying with it, simply stay home, take a day off, if the whole world took a day off, it would send a shockwave right around this world and the entire system would collapse. If everyone didn't spend money for a day, Wall Street would collapse. You know, I've said this for so long. I've been trying to promote the 15th of every month that people just don't spend money on the 15th of every month, because something as simple as that would make a difference. It would send a shockwave around the world, only it would take a lot of people to actually participate in it to make a difference. And it's difficult, folks, to get people motivated, even to get them motivated into doing nothing for a day. It's a very difficult thing to do. People want change, they're just not prepared to be the ones to implement that change. You know, when I first began this radio show, I really thought that I could change the world. I had made such changes in my life by simply changing my attitude. You know, I'd been my own worst enemy for so many years, and when I changed my attitude and changed the way I interacted with the world emotionally, then everything in my life changed. You know, when I put down the fear of being who I am, then my life changed. And most people are in fear of being who they are. They really are. Most people don't realize it, but they are in fear of being exactly what they are. They have this concept of what they are. They have this character that they've built for themselves, this persona they've created based on what they look like, what they dress like, the possessions that they own. But they've never really stripped that away from themselves and just stood there as a human being and felt what it was like to be that human being, and realize that everybody around them are just the same with that equal value that they have. And to realize that just by being a human being, you have incredible power, you have incredible rights, and no one can put anything over you. No one can control you unless you let them. Just that knowledge is an incredibly empowering knowledge to have. And I really thought that if people could just see the truth of themselves, then they would realize that the system is all fiction, and they would stand up against the system, and we would change the world in a day, because we can change the world in a day if people can simply realize their own personal power. I still believe this. I still believe that we can do this. I still believe humanity can rise above all of this mess. But it gets very difficult to come onto these radio shows and basically say the same thing over and over again and just ask people to stand up for themselves. You know, I could come on here and I could give you news reports every week. A lot of people do. They come and bring you news reports. But what's the point of that? There's a lot of other people doing that already. And all I'm doing by doing that is bringing you negative information, letting you know how bad the world is around us. And we already know that. What we need is something to motivate us, something to inspire us, something to make us want to act and inspire us to stand up for ourselves. What is that information? You know, what are the solutions we can look at? What are the solutions we can implement? Yeah, because all the solutions that I bring to people involve people themselves, and unfortunately people don't want that. They want the solution, but they don't want to have to be involved in implementing that solution. They just want the newsletter to arrive in the mail, And so it becomes very difficult to continue to do these broadcasts and to try to keep things positive for people and to attempt solutions for people when there really is only one solution, and that is for people to stand in their own personal power and to stand up for themselves. You know, you can't join some movement and follow some knight in shining armor that's going to lead you to safety and we all tag along behind and then fall into the new system to whatever this person creates. Why do we need any system? Why can't we just have a system of mutual respect? That's all we need, but we don't have that, and that is the problem. And if people would realize this, we could change the world very, very simply. But it doesn't happen. People wait for someone like Donald Trump to come along and drain the swamp. And Trump isn't draining the swamp. Trump is the swamp. You know, after his announcement on Jerusalem, it doesn't matter what moves Donald Trump makes from this point. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump says from this point. Donald Trump now has zero credibility. Donald Trump is not anyone who is playing for the people. Donald Trump is someone who is playing for himself and someone who is playing for Israel, and nothing is going to change that from this point. He has made himself very, very clear. He has revealed exactly what his agenda is with this move. So it doesn't matter at this point. Forget Donald Trump. Trump isn't going to save anything. Trump is a player through and through. Trump was meant to be elected. There was no chance that Hillary Clinton was going to win. This has all been done by design. Trump is playing the game. He's bringing about this whole situation that I outlined in the beginning of the show. Trump is supporting the downfall of America, the destruction of America. He's supporting this new Silk Road that is coming online with China. He is simply the fall guy for the controlled demolition of the United States. And nothing's going to change that from this point. He's made himself very, very clear with the stance that he's taken on Jerusalem. The question is, what do we do from this point? Because it's become obvious that there is no political remedy. I mean, it was obvious to begin with that there is no political remedy, but hopefully now, with what Trump has just done and the moves that he's just made, hopefully people can now see that there is no political remedy. Those who were hoping for one anyway, perhaps they will now see that this is all a play. The whole thing's been a play. This entire new trade agreement is going to go forward. The entire system is very likely to switch over to cryptocurrency. And look, the cryptocurrency, again, this is a very, very interesting issue because it is obviously going to switch over that way. And so it is advisable for people to get in and buy a little bit of cryptocurrency now so that they do have some sort of a stake in what's going to be unfolding in the future. But again, it's people doing that, which is building the blockchain and building the cryptocurrency and undermining the financial system of their own various countries to begin with. You know, we don't want fiat currency. We'd like to go back to a gold standard, but we can't do that because there's virtually no gold left. It's all been stolen by various people. England or Canada, someone was just caught selling gold-plated tungsten to someone as well. So we're in a situation now where we don't really have any currency of any value at all. And so now we're being switched over to a cryptocurrency, a blockchain currency, which doesn't have any value either. There's nothing backing that. We've gone from one imaginary currency to another imaginary currency. It's quite interesting, really. But it really does look like it's going to go over in that direction, and there's very little we can do to stop it. And you look, even if it did all go over to a blockchain and everything went to cryptocurrency, it wouldn't be a bad thing if we had control of the system. The problem is the AI control of the system and the fact that every person is being turned into an economic node and they're being forced to pay for every single aspect of their lives and every action they perform. That's the problem. You know, there's nothing really wrong with digital currency. There's nothing wrong with any type of medium of trade that we use. It's how it's controlled by the system and how it interacts with the system, how the system is designed around it, and how we are forced to pay for every aspect of our lives and every action we perform. That is the problem. And that is how the control grid works. That is integral for the control grid, for you to have to pay for every action that you perform, because that is how you're tracked. That's how you are monitored. That's how they know what everybody is doing, which is really the ultimate goal of all this. You know, if you're a criminal and you're running the world, then you want to know who's thinking what. You want to know who's got the dirt on you. You want to know who knows what you're doing so you can eliminate these people. You know, the whole thing's built around the fear and paranoia of the ruling kakistocracy when you really get down to it. You know, their desperate need to be able to keep themselves out of the reach of the masses should the masses ever find out what they've been up to. But it's pretty well too late for that. I mean, the cat is most certainly out of the bag. Everybody knows what's going on now. Well, most people know how the world is run, and they know that the powers that believe they be certainly do not have the interests of the people at heart. So the question is, how do we extricate ourselves from this system, as everybody keeps asking? And as I keep saying, a lot of people just aren't realizing that they are the solution themselves. You know, the whole system functions because we comply with it, we go along with it, we follow the rules, and we do what we're told. Even with this cryptocurrency, this could be a really great way to extricate ourselves from the system if we don't allow the system to control the currency by putting an economic value on every single action we perform. You know, people just don't ask the question of why you need money, why you have to pay to be alive. That is the question. Why do you have to pay to get access to all of the things that exist in nature around you? You know, we live in a world of abundance, and we shouldn't have to pay to be here. It's as simple as that. I mean, sure, a medium of trade, some type of money, can be a good thing. It's an easy way for us to do business with each other. But why do we have to be in this state of permanent scarcity to begin with, which is what requires us to need an economic system? You know, we never used to be in a state of scarcity before we had money. And that's what money does, regardless of what form it takes, regardless of whether it's digital, or whether it's fiat, or whether it's gold or silver or what it is. It's the mere fact that you need to pay to be alive. The mere fact that you've got to pay to have a roof over your head. The mere fact that you believe you can own a piece of the earth when you can't. And you don't own a piece of the earth anyway, folks. Even if you've bought land, you don't actually own it. What you own is coordinates on a map. If you really look at the deeds, you don't own the piece of dirt that you're living on. You're just caretaking that particular place for a little while. And the government gets to control everything you do anyway. That's why you have to request permission to do anything. But even explaining that is probably another entire episode in itself, because it's quite a complicated issue. But the issue is, folks, how to extricate ourselves from this system, and what prevents people from doing so. And generally, it's fear, people's fear of being who and what they are. You know, people live most of their lives in fear because they have a stake in the outcome of their actions. They think that if they spend their lives collecting all of this stuff, it's actually going to mean something at the end of it all. But it doesn't. It's just a big pile of things that tie you to the spot where you are. And you're not able to leave, you're not able to go and explore the world because you have this big pile of stuff you need to protect on this piece of ground that you think you own. But the earth has been here for millions of years, and you're just here for a little while. You don't actually own it. You're just a caretaker of this position. And it's this attachment we place on outcome of everything, the attachment we place on the outcome of our lives, that messes up everything, because we measure our lives according to someone else's parameters, according to false parameters. We don't measure it by the artistic expression of who we are. We don't measure it by the love that we've shared and the connections we've made with people. It's all about collecting this pile of stuff and being able to climb to the top of the pile and show your pile off as being a bigger pile than somebody else's. And it's ridiculous. We have to get out of that mindset. And if we can't get out of that mindset, we're never going to find any way out of this system. And as soon as we can get out of the mindset where we need all this ridiculous stuff that we just don't need, and that we judge ourselves by how much stuff we've got, as soon as we can get out of this mindset, that is freedom itself. You know, as soon as we get out of this mindset, we change the system simply by changing our attitude. It's our attitude that keeps the system afloat. And that's all that's ever kept it afloat. You know, but it's just an idea, folks. It's just a meme. It's just this concept of what society should look like, and a bunch of thugs out there in police uniform who enforce the policies of what the people in charge believe society should look like. And none of it benefits the people, but until we can realize it is us who's holding it up, there is not going to be any remedy. Even the mere fact that people believe they need someone like Donald Trump to come along and lead them to safety is the very problem in itself. The fact that people believe they need leaders, and the fact that they need government to look after them, when really what we need government for is to manage infrastructure for us responsibly, and that's all we need government for. We've just been tricked into viewing these people from the wrong perspective, which is why they get away with so much and why the world has been degraded to the point that it has. And all of this, of course, stems from people's failure to simply be able to get along with each other. You know, all the trolls on the internet, everything that everybody attacks everybody else for, anybody who thinks differently, everybody attacks everybody, and we all put ourselves at loggerheads with the people around us out of sheer frustration, I believe, because we don't believe we can address the system. You know, we're caught up in these lives that are designed to frustrate us and limit us of our potential and keep us behind the eight ball all the time. We know there's something better. We know that we are capable of more, and we're just desperately trying to get ahead and make some difference and get to some point of comfort where we can at least unwind and decompress from the rigors of life, some form of relaxation. And we find it very difficult to get to this point. Sometimes we get little modicums of it, little pieces of it, little moments of it, but we never get that sort of fluidity in our lives where we can just decompress and allow ourselves to flow with life and move in the flow of things. We never really get this. Sometimes we do, but it's very difficult for most people, so we end up enormously frustrated, and we take out our pent-up emotions on the people around us, and we just fail to get along. Whereas if we would just get along and allow other people to be different, then we would break all these barriers down, and we could stand up as one united people and address this system very easily. Now, that's really how easy the issue is, folks, and that's how easily we could change things, simply by putting down our stuff with each other and acting in a respectful way with each other. You know, never stepping outside our moral compass. So many things that I've said to you on the show so many times over so many years. And I know it becomes repetitive, but what happens when you find the answer and you want to present this answer to people? Are you supposed to just stop and talk about something else when you can see the way out so clearly? It's just getting the message to people. And that's been the whole thing. You know, if people's failure to see the simplicity of the key to this prison that we inhabit. You know, very often people can't even see the prison, and when they do see the prison, the walls and the obstacles just seem insurmountable to them, and they don't ever feel like they can ever find a way out. But it's not true, because it's just a prison for your mind, and there is a way out by simply realizing who and what you are. You know, and I say this so often, and people think it's just this esoteric mumbo-jumbo, they think it's this spiritual rubbish. They want a blueprint, they want someone to give them the game plan. They don't realize that they hold the system up. You know, you hold it up every time you use your credit card. You hold it up every time you use your smartphone, every time you pay your taxes, every time you obey an order that is not designed to help you, not designed to protect you, not designed to do anything beneficial in your life. Every time you do what you're told, you basically support the system. I mean, sure, if you're working for someone and you got this job and you need to do what you're told, right, just to make things flow, and you enjoy the work, hey, this is a good thing. But when someone gives you an order and makes you step outside of your moral compass to obey that order and demands that you give them fealty, well, this is how the whole thing is held up. And that's where our moral compass breaks down. And that's where our control over our lives breaks down. That's where the system gains its power. From us simply doing that, us simply being willing to comply with whatever we're told to do, regardless of how it affects our moral compass. You know, a failure to stand up for what is right. You know, everybody knows what right and wrong is, but we very often fail to stand up for what is right simply because we believe we're constrained by the words that people write on paper. But ultimately, what it comes down to, folks, is the fact that this is your life. You know, what do you want to do with your life? And this is our world. What do we want to do with our world? And you might argue that point, say, well, no, it's not our world. It's such and such's world or whatever. And you might think aliens are owning the place or whatever. It doesn't matter. But we live here. This is our environment. This is our reality. And we can make this reality whatever we want it to be if we can first understand the power of ourselves. And we're not going to get this while we continue at loggerheads with each other. We're not going to get it while we continue arguing with each other and placing our value of ourselves on all these physical objects, all this stuff that we think we own, what we look like, what we dress like, what we control. This is not what it's about. In fact, that is the very problems that create this whole prison that we live in. You know, there are a lot of good things on the horizon. There's a lot of truth being exposed to people. There's a lot of corruption being exposed to people. People can see the system for what it is, and this is a good thing. You know, the more corrupt things get and the more visible it becomes, the more I like it, because the more I can expose it, the more I can see it as opportunity for us to address these problems. So I like it when it's in your face. I like it when people can see what's going on, because it may motivate them to actually change things. But they have to realize that it's them that is the change. We are all the change that we need to see, and we can all be that change if we choose to do it. You know, people won't just have to stop waiting for someone to come along and save them. And I know I'm just repeating myself, but people have to stop this. we're at a really pivotal point. We are a really, really serious time in history. This whole smart grid's coming online, the whole AI grid. And now more than ever, we need unity. Now more than ever, we need to recognize what is being done to us, what this smart grid is all about. This whole massive depopulation plan that's underway. I mean, who out there is having respiratory problems? I know I'm having respiratory problems. A lot of people I know are having respiratory problems, and this is because of the aerial spraying. I mean, how many people are having issues with their body from the GM food that they're eating? You know, the sperm count's dropping to a ridiculous degree through all the plastics. The vaccination programs are doing more harm than good. We've just seen them use what appear to be directed energy weapons in California a couple of months ago. I mean, how much do we need to put up with? How much more do we need to take? How much do we have to deal with this system and just allow the people that run this system to do what they do to us before we realize that we are under attack and we start pushing back? That's the question. At what point does it become self-defense, ladies and gentlemen? At what point do we acknowledge that the main activity of government is causing harm? And at what point in our lives do we become proactive to defend ourselves against this harm that has been caused to us? And let's just admit it, folks, because that is the main activity of government, causing harm. That's all their legislation does, is cause harm to people. How many people have got in trouble with the law when they haven't really done anything wrong and they've been brutalized by police, forced to pay fines, forced to lose their children and remove themselves from the houses that they bought, all sorts of things that people have been forced to do simply because of legislation that is enacted by government, because that is the main activity of government, is causing harm. The question is, as I said, when are we prepared to acknowledge this? How far are we prepared to let it go before we acknowledge it? And how far are we prepared to let it go before we become proactive in addressing this situation? Because it would be very easy to address. But first, we need to acknowledge that this is what governments do. This is what police do. This is what legislation is designed to do. None of it's there to protect you. It's all there to protect the system and to protect the cacistocracy that sits above the system and to never afford any real remedy to the people if they wish to address the system. Now, you can't do it from within those parameters. You can't do it from within the system because the system is not designed to allow you to. It's designed to tie you up in red tape and never find any real remedy. The only remedy you will ever find is the remedy that exists in your heart. And we all have the capability of doing this, ladies and gentlemen. So put down the fear, because it's time for us to stand up for ourselves, folks. It really is. We simply cannot allow this situation to continue. We have to stand up for ourselves, and we have a real opportunity right now to move the world in an entirely new direction. We have all the tools we need at our fingertips. All we have to do is stand up and be counted. Well, folks, it has come to that time again where we have reached the end of the show. I should be able to bring you a show next week, but I'm not particularly sure what's happening at the moment. I'm not sure whether I'm going to stay here in the Amazon or whether I'm going to move to higher ground for the moment, because it's pretty out of control here at the moment. There are a few issues that have come up, as one gets when one is living in the jungle during the wet season. So I'm not sure whether I'm going to stay here for 2.5 months the way I had planned, and whether I will be here over the Christmas period. We'll just have to see how it goes as to whether I can bring you a show next week. But I will try to. Even if I have to start traveling again, I'll see if I can get one done for you before I leave. But I'm just playing it by ear at the moment, and we'll see how we go. Again, I'm speaking next year in February at Acapulco in Mexico at the Anacapulco Conference, and it'd be good to see you there. You'll find a link to that on my website. And if you use the coupon The Crow House, you'll get a discount on that ticket. That is the last talk that I have booked for this particular tour. After that, I'll very likely be doing another month of Cambo workshops in Hawaii. But that is the only speaking dates and only workshops that I actually have organized. I intend to have a little bit of time off once I've done those particular events and get to work on the film, which is what I was hoping to do over the Christmas break here in Peru. But as I said, there are a few problems here in the jungle at the moment. And I'm just wondering how viable my plans to stay here really are and whether this is the best place I should be over this period. So I'm kind of weighing all that up in my mind at the moment, and I'll just have to see what I come up with in the next few days. I also have a few interviews coming up, and I will be back on Press TV very soon. I haven't been able to answer any of their calls for the last 3 months simply because of location and workshops and internet bandwidth and all sorts of reasons. But there should be a few Press TV slots coming up soon, and as I said, a few interviews in the wind as well. So you certainly haven't heard the last of me, and even if I can't get a show out to you next week, well, there should be something that's released to pick up the slack anyway. But I'll try to get a show out to you. I think there's a pretty good chance we'll be able to keep it flowing from this point. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to everybody who continues to support the website. Thank you to those who contribute to the Patreon account. Again, you are the only people that keep me going, so I really cannot thank my Patreon supporters enough. You really are wonderful people, and my heart goes out to each and every one of you. But that is it for me, folks. I will look forward to speaking to you very likely next week. If not, it will be the week after. Please take very good care until then. In La Keshe.